Hello.
Hello, hi there, is that Ronald?
Yeah.
Hi there, it's Shay calling from MMA Legal. You okay?
Okay, Jay, no problem.
Good, good. Just for data protection, Ronald, can you confirm the first line of your address and your postcode, please?
First line of address is 8/5 Northcote Street, and it's E811 DHL.
Perfect, thank you very much. So obviously, as you are aware, the reason for the call today, Ronald, is to go through your witness statement with you. The reason for the witness statement is this is your final piece of information that you provide to Scottish Redress. This will capture some of your time in care and how that has affected you throughout life whilst you were in care as well. It will discuss a bit about the abuse that you've received whilst you were in care, and will evidence any support and evidence that we have. So basically the care records that we've been provided, etc. We'll pop those in there. That statement is then submitted to Scottish Redress once you're happy. The only people who will see the statement is ourselves, you and Scottish Redress. The statement isn't published anywhere, and it is just for them to get an understanding of your time in care and to quantify your case. So basically to determine how much compensation you are to be awarded. Now, you are in control of the statement, so if you want to take a break, if you want me to give you a call back, or if it gets too much, then please do just let me know and we can stop the statements. I will go through quite a few questions with you. It's for you to answer the questions to the best of your ability. If there's anything you can't remember, simply just say you can't remember, and I'll move on to the next stage. Next question, sorry. And again, some of the questions will sound repetitive, but please just do answer them where you can. Okay, so just a few eligibility questions before we continue, Ronald. I just want to clarify that you are happy to continue today. Okay, Brill. Do you need anyone with you before we proceed?
No.
Okay. You're aware that the purpose of the statement is to support your Scottish Redress application? Okay, brilliant. Just a couple of questions about your personal background now, Ronald. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Glasgow, children's home in North Berwick.
Glasgow, okay. Real. And what sort of area did you grow up in? Is that a small town? Is it a little
Small
village?
town, yeah. Town, yeah.
Okay.
Next to the sea, and
Okay. Who did you live with?
I lived with a care home with 30 other children and the staff.
So sorry, so this is just prior to you being admitted into care. Can you remember who you lived with
Oh,
before
prior
that?
to care.
Yeah.
Yeah, I stayed with my dad and my mum in between. They were separated, and so sometimes I stayed with my mum, sometimes I stayed with my dad, if I remember. That was in Edinburgh.
Okay.
Wasn't a very good time.
Okay, it was never a really good time. Okay, Brill. So you said that it wasn't a really good time. What was life like before care? So was the associate.
I just remember getting shunted from my mother to my father and getting hit all the time, smacked, and my dad used to give me the belt.
Okay.
My dad was an alcoholic, I think.
Okay. And what was school like? Did you go to school at all? Can you remember?
No. Not when I was with my mother and father, no.
Okay. No worries. And can you remember how you came into being entered into care and who made the decision?
No, I've no idea. One minute I was with my father, and the next minute I was in care.
You were never told why.
No, never.
Okay. No worries. Do you have any siblings, Ronald, that you're aware of?
My brother died about 4 to 5 years ago. He was in the home with me. I've got a sister who was adopted.
Okay, so you never got split up?
We were split up. My sister was split up from us.
Okay. So you have one brother and one sister, but you and your brother stay together and they split you up from your sister?
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Okay. Okay, Ronald, I have got here that you entered care on the 10th of October 1962, and I've got that your age was around 5. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, it'd be 5 in December, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, can you remember how you felt at the time when you were being taken into care?
Oh, I felt horrible. Believe it or not, even though my father used to abuse me, I remember the day very well. I got taken into care. I was totally devastated. I didn't know what was happening.
Okay. And were there any important issues that should have been recorded in regard to your childhood? So, for example, was you vulnerable? Did you have any learning needs? Was there any disabilities at all?
No, at all.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you very much. Okay. So I've got that the only care setting that you was in was, is it Glasclun? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Glasclun House in North Berwick. Yeah. Is that the only place that you was in?
That was the only child care place I was in. I was actually in a hospital, a child psychiatric hospital for about 6 months.
So I just mean in terms of an actual care placement.
Just go ask Glasclun, yeah.
Yeah, okay, brilliant. So what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to go through the institutes, and just clarify what exactly went on there, a little bit about what day-to-day was like in there, what sort of abuse you received, and just go into detail about that a little bit. If it gets too much, you need a break. Okay, and then again, just let me know, Ronald. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I have that you were in. As I said before, you were admitted on the 10th of October 1962 to Glasclun, and that was a childcare home.
Yeah.
Okay. So in terms of the accommodation itself, can you remember what the building was like?
Oh, it was a big, big home, big house.
Okay. How many floors did they have? Can you remember? Was it?
Two or three floors.
Okay. That's brilliant. Okay, and was it clean? Was the building clean and sanitary?
Oh yeah, they had cleaners every day.
Okay. And what was your day-to-day routine like there?
Well, you get up about 6:30, 7 o'clock, make your bed, and get your breakfast. Then if you're at school, you go to school.
And on a weekend and stuff, would you just relax?
Weekend, you just sort of relaxed, yeah.
Okay, right. And what was school like? So was you in a normal school routine, so you'd get up, go to school Monday to Friday, and that was that.
Normal school routine, yeah.
Okay. Can you remember what the food was like at all?
What, in the home?
Yeah. So was it adequate?
It was adequate, yeah, just adequate.
Okay. And was the clothing adequate at all, as well, sorry?
Well, the clothes was like hand-me-downs when I was younger.
Okay. And what was your hygiene like? Was there stuff for you to be able to keep clean?
Yeah, I've always been hygienic.
Okay, well. Okay, so in terms of the staff there, how was you treated by the staff generally?
Very strict.
Okay. So I take it was there rules and punishments in place?
Yeah.
Is there any isolation?
Any what?
Isolation or like segregation, sort of being taken away and kept on your own?
Yeah, there was. Sometimes I was sent downstairs to the bottom corridor and stand for maybe 2 or 3 hours by myself in the dark.
Okay. Okay, now did anything happen to you there that you would now consider abuse, whether that be sexual, physical, emotional, or neglect?
Well, nothing sexual, but I was once I swore and I got soap put in my mouth.
Okay.
I was given the slipper umpteen times in the beer buttocks and on the flat of the hand on the back of the head, and I believe the abuse nowadays. I don't know if there was abuse then.
Well, to be honest, Ronald, it's changed massively from back when you were in care.
Yeah.
Now it's massively frowned upon to lay hands on any child. To any extent. You can't even, you're restricted to what you can and can't say to a child now, because it can be classed as emotional abuse or neglect, or you've got to be very careful. So I understand to you it might seem significant, it might seem insignificant, sorry, or something small or something that was normal, but it weren't, and this shouldn't have happened. It's had a lasting effect on you. It's traumatic. So
yeah.
Please don't downplay anything at all, because the smallest thing that's happened to you will make a big difference in your compensation, mate. So we want to try and get everything out. So please don't downplay anything.
Sometimes you are punished without your teeth, or sent to your bed without your teeth.
Okay.
That means you never had anything to eat from the dinner time that day till the following morning.
Okay, bro. And who was involved or responsible for this? Was it staff?
Was it
children?
It was the staff.
Okay. Can you remember any of the names at all?
No. Remember one, Mrs. Bryan. She was very strict.
Okay, no worries.
There was never any punching or anything like that, it was just slap.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, even that, like I said before, even a slap now is just frowned upon. So that in itself is that shouldn't have happened. You were placed in care to be looked after, not to be abused. And that's the whole reason this scheme, a scheme is there for people like yourself, because they've realised this shouldn't have happened. These people were checked by the government and were trusted to be members of staff that looked after you, and they failed to do that. So yeah, that don't be worrying about that. Whether it was a slap, a punch, a kick, it's still abuse. Okay, can you remember any clear example of something that happened to you, something that you can, you know, you remember the detail of well?
Well, I remember once I was over here training, so there was a bar of soap put in my mouth and sort of thrust in and out to clean my mouth out for swearing.
Okay.
When I say swearing, I don't mean anything bad. I probably say bugger or something like that, you know, or something like that. I don't think it'd be anything really nasty. That was enough to get punished.
Okay. And where was this? Was this in a home, in a bathroom, was it?
Yeah, this was in the bathroom, I think. I remember that well.
Okay.
As to who done it, I can't remember really who done it.
Okay, and then after it, what happened? Was you basically just let go back to your room?
After I had to rinse my mouth out, and I didn't know, and then just came back to my room, yeah.
Okay. Okay, no worries. And how often would this happen? Over what period? So was it from when you...
I swearing, it happened every time I was swearing, but... You should learn not to swear.
Yeah, okay. So this was a consistent thing from when you went there to when you finished?
No, because actually when... Later on, the new people came to run the home. And they were good. They stopped all the sort of punishments.
Okay. Not a problem at all. So what immediate effects did you experience when this would happen? So was there any pain, injury, any fear, any shame?
Fear, yeah. And felt sick.
Okay. Did you ever get any sort of sleep problems or bedwetting because of this?
I had sleep problems. That's why I ended up in children's psychiatric place. Couldn't sleep. No bedwetting, no. I never had bedwet the bed.
Okay. Did you ever try and run away because of it?
Yeah, I ran away once. Yeah. Ran away to Edinburgh. I was caught with the police.
Okay. Okay, and when this was happening to you, Ronald, when you were in the home, there you getting soap and stuff put in your mouth. Did anyone witness it, or was it just staff that would have seen it, or did other kids?
Just basically staff and myself. Yeah.
Okay.
If there was a witness, I can't remember.
Okay. Do you know if this was happening to other children in there as well? So was this sort of like a common punishment, if you like?
I'm not really sure, but I surmise that it was probably a common punishment. You know, if anybody else was caught swearing, they'd get their mouth.
Okay. Okay, and did you ever tell anyone about this at all, Ronald?
Oh, I probably told somebody about it, yeah.
Nothing happened?
Well, when I say told somebody, I told our children, like.
Oh, okay. Okay, brilliant. That's so that is that part done. And so I'm just going to go a little bit more into I'm just going to lean into that a little bit more. You said that you can't remember any names at all. Can you remember any sort of roles or descriptions or anything that Redress would be able to identify these people with? So the reason I'm asking that is because what Scottish Redress do, they have a list of contributors, which is a list of care settings that are involved. It's a list of people and a description of those people who have been named and involved. And what they do is they collaborate your story with the list of contributors. So, for example, if you said to them, I went to Glasscullen and I can't remember the teacher's name, but I remember there was one called Hickey, and he was a male and he looked like this, and you know, he had a tattoo here. They will be able to cross-reference with what they have. And if that matches your description, then they are able to sort of verify your version of events, if that makes sense. So if there's anyone you can remember at all, or any job roles you remember they were doing, so if there was a nurse or if there was a social worker that would visit, anyone at all, just let me know and I'll bob them down.
Oh, I could remember a couple of staff names. The
Yeah.
staff, Mrs. Bryant.
Mr. Bryant, yeah.
Bryant, Bryant.
NT, yeah.
Mrs. Sutherland, Miss Sutherland.
Yeah.
Mrs. Quinn or Miss Quinn.
Yeah.
And, I can't remember anymore, really.
Okay, that's fine, mate. No worries. That's perfect. And they were all just staff in there, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and you obviously all the staff knew that this was all staff knew that this was happening. So,
Oh,
for
there must have
example,
been one eye because there's different staff all the time. You've got to get the clapper from or slap in the back of the arm, you know.
okay, so the different staff were doing the same punishments, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you were to have complained about this or raised it, do you think you would have been believed?
No, you're just going to talk to you. Shut up and get on with it. Remember, I was only about 5 years old, and so the chances of complaining are very slim, you know.
Yeah.
I just thought it was normal.
Okay. Okay, no worries. Next section is movement between placement and leaving care. Obviously, you only went to the one care setting, so you, I can answer that first question. You weren't moved. You confirmed that you did try and run away. Was it only the once?
Yeah, it was all the words. Just a stupid thing I done.
Okay, no worries. So it says when, at what age did you leave care? So it was when you adolescent, wasn't it? When you became an adult.
Left care when I was 18,
Yeah.
joined the army.
Okay. Brilliant. Okay, so now I'm just going to go into the impact, just so you know, Ronald, we are nearly done. We're over halfway now, mate, so we haven't got much longer left.
Yeah.
Just going to go into the impact, how it's affected you, and a few questions surrounding that. So how did the experience of this affect you at the time in terms of, you know, your safety, your trust in people, your confidence?
Oh, I'm not trusting. The confidence was very low.
Okay.
Just felt as though you were getting put down all the time, you know.
Okay. And did this have an effect on your relationships with people and ability to speak up?
Yeah, well, I've never really had been able to have relationships with females. Can yeah, well, I was married, but that broke up. I think it was due to the fact that I never seen my mother after I was put in the home, and it was all female staff there at the time.
Okay. And how has it affected your mental health? So as you've got any anxiety, depression, trauma, panic attacks?
Oh, I've got anxiety, depression, you name it, I've got it.
Okay, so do you get flashbacks? Or
I think there's some
nightmares?
nightmares about it, aye.
Yeah, okay. No, this bit is a bit sensitive. If you don't want to
Oh.
answer, that's absolutely fine. I can go through your medical records. But have you ever self-harmed or had any suicidal thoughts or attempts?
I've had suicidal thoughts, but I've never self-harmed or attempted to commit suicide.
Okay. And in terms of your physical health, how has this affected your physical health? So, you said you have sleep issues. Do you have any sort of chronic pain at all?
No pain, no, nothing like that, just sleep issues.
Any substance abuse at all? Alcohol or drugs?
No. Well, I did used to hit the alcohol quite hard, but I don't now.
Okay. And did you drink to sort of numb or block any of this out?
I would say a drunk could walk it out.
Okay. And you said towards affected relationships, friendships, intimacy, trust, all those sort of aspects of life. Okay. Have you got any children at all?
I've got two children, four grandchildren.
Okay. Two children and four grandchildren. And how has this affected you growing up with your children and grandchildren? Has it had a detriment on your?
Oh, I've vowed that I'd be a good father to them, you know. Give them what I never had.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and how did this affect your work, finances, and opportunities?
Really, I used to take quite a bit of time off work because I'd be depressed. My finances, I've always been managed my finances well.
Okay. Okay. And do you have any triggers at all? So any places, smells, authority figures, places that you try and avoid? Is
I think
any sort of, is soap a trigger, like the smell of soap and stuff?
well, it was carbolic soap in the days. You don't get carbolic soap now, I don't think.
Okay.
Well, the smell of that, I'd remember it.
Okay.
Got to remember, you were never given any love or anything like that. There was never any hugs or anything like that. When you were a wee boy and that. When you went to school, the children at the school could be pretty nasty to you, you know.
Okay. What was the home like in terms of birthdays and Christmas and stuff? Would you get anything off them?
Yeah. Your presence.
Okay, no worries. And what impact has this had on your life overall? What do you think might have been different if this hadn't happened?
Well, I'd like to have spent it with a mother and father, you know. Instead of feeling inferior all the time.
Do you think your relationship with alcohol use would have been different and your suicidal attempts?
Yeah, it's been a lot different, yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to go on to support and treatment now, Ronald. Have you ever received any counselling, therapy, mental health addiction, GP, hospital, or any other professional support?
Yes, psychiatric doctor.
Yep. Okay, so you've got a psychiatrist. Okay. Mental health team. You had counselling?
Think I did for a while, I'm not
Okay.
very sure. I don't remember.
Okay. I've gone through your GP records, Ronald. I'm just going to read a few things. I'll just tell me if there's anything I've missed. So in terms of your diagnosis, I've got that you have got chronic depression. I've also got that you have anxiety with depression.
Oh.
I've also got that you've had a few psychotic symptoms.
Yes.
And psychotic episodes.
Oh.
Okay, Brill. Boom, that's them ones done. Agoraphobia.
I still have agoraphobia now. I don't go out the house at all.
Okay, so you don't move at all. Okay, well, okay. Not a problem. I think that is everything. And then in terms of your medication that you've had over the years, I've got sertraline, mirtazapine, aripiprazole, olanzapine, diazepam, and temazepam. Okay, Brill. I will pop all of those in for you. Okay. The next part of the statement is the part that we've conducted for you. So it's your evidence and support and statement. So it's just asking what records you've got that may support this. And I can tell you that we've got your care records, your social care records, and your medical records.
Yeah, my care records aren't going to tell you the abuse, so
Yet,
they're
so
not going to say that I was soaked in my mouth or anything like that, are they?
no, not all the time, no. So I don't think that there is anything in yours that I've seen that shouts out that that's happened. However, the Scottish Redress, they're not actually looking for your notes to say that you've been abused. They are just looking for your care records to confirm that you were there in the first instance. And then from that, like I said before, when they're evidence collecting and they're collaborating with what people are telling them to what they've got, once they see that you were in this care setting, I can tell you now, the vast majority of our clients have been in this care setting. So therefore, you're pretty much good for a payment. Just off the record, you will get something. It's just a case of
I'm
what
still
abuse
about the
you've
money.
received.
I'm not
Yeah.
really worried about the money. I'm just trying to get some closure on what harmed and
Well, exactly. It's about doing the right thing going forward for other people who are going to be in situations like yourself. Hopefully this will stop this sort of thing happening going forward. And people, kids, the children will be safe when they're in care as they should be.
Well, you wouldn't actually get put in care as long as what I was nowadays, would you? We try to foster you out
Yes,
somewhat.
there's alternative ways now, isn't there? They try and rehome children as opposed to putting them into an actual care home or into care under the local authority. But from my job prior to this was working as a support worker. I work with people leaving care, so they were 16 to 18 year olds. Obviously,
they never had that when I was.
Yeah, so that's a pretty new thing.
Once you reached a certain age, that was it, you were out.
Yeah, well, no, they call them care leavers now, so it's people 16 to 18. Basically, my job was to help them become adults and, you know, get them housing and get them a job and so on and so forth. And that sort of set them up, you know, made sure we had the finances there. And there was nothing like that back then. And it's just mind-blowing to think that, kids were put into care, placed with people that they've never met before, and then at the end of it, just kicked back out. It's shocking. It doesn't set you up for life. Again, this is where the neglect side comes from, because you should have been given the same opportunity as everybody else growing up, and you've not been given that chance, Ronald. So it is about making it right for other people. You're completely right there. Okay. It says, any records of injuries, self-harm, substance use? I've got your medical records there, so I will input those for you. Okay, the next question for you, Ronald. Could any sibling, former resident, relative, friend, partner, or professional provide you a supporting statement if you wanted them to?
Well, my brother's dead now, isn't he?
Okay.
So he was in the home with me, but my sister was brought up. She was adopted.
Okay. No worries.
Well, she could give me a statement, yeah. There's basically nobody to verify what I'm saying.
Okay, no worries. Okay, I'm just going to go on to the next section now. Previous claims, applications, or payments. So have you previously made any civil claim, criminal injuries claim, redress application, complaint, police report, inquiry statement, or claim to another scheme about this abuse?
No, whatsoever.
Okay. Have you received any payment, apology, settlement letter, or decision, or waiver from any organisation in regards to this abuse?
None.
Okay, perfect. Now, just in your own words, what's the reason you are applying for the redress scheme? And what would you like to come from your story?
I'm just basically, you know, like, stop this happening again, basically, you know. If there's enough of us to tell our story, then can we maybe stop this sort of thing? Because it shouldn't happen, you know. It's 5 year old and getting smacked and soap in your mouth, and it shouldn't happen, you know.
And what would an acknowledgement mean to you?
Acknowledgement, it mean a lot to me that they admitted what they've done.
Okay. Is there anything that you want Scottish Redress to understand about what happened to you?
No, it's just everything that I've told you.
Okay.
I'm sure they'll read the report.
Yeah. Okay, Brill. And then just a couple of closing and welfare check questions. Is there anything that we've anything important that we've not covered today?
No, it's basically covered everything.
Okay. And how do you feel after discussing this today? Do you feel safe to end the call?
Oh, I feel good.
Yeah, very well. Is there anybody you would want us to contact on your behalf, or are you okay?
No, I'm okay,
Okay, brilliant. Fantastic. So that's the end of the statement, Ronald. What will happen now is I am going to go through your statement again, and I'm going to need to type it all up into a formal statement and make it all nice and neat, put in any punctuation, spelling mistakes, those sort of things. I'll also add your exhibits in. So your exhibits are documents, basically, that we've been given from the council. It's like registers, your GP records, those sorts of things. I'll pop those into the statement. Once I've done that, I will send your statement over to you if I email. Please just have a little read over it. Once you're happy with everything, you can sign it and return it back to us. If there's anything you want.
Sorry, interrupt you. Can you send me a paper copy?
Yeah, not a problem.
I can't do that without signing over the phone and that.
Yeah, I can do.
Send me a copy with an addressed envelope.
Yeah, I will do. Not a problem. I will send it via email as well. Just see if you can sign it, because it is literally, once you open the document, it has a little button that you click that says review and sign, and then
I'm old school.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't do it, that's fine. I'll send the paper copy out as well, so you've got both. Okay.
Yeah.
What I will also send out to you, Ronald, is a payment authority letter. So this payment authority letter is what we send to Redress with your application. Basically gives us authority for the payment to come to ourselves, for us to take the cut that is agreed in your CFA, conditional fee agreement, and then it tells them that we are then going to release the payment to yourself once our cut has been deducted. So that'll be there as well. Once you've read through that, sign that as well, send that back to us. Once we've got both of those documents back, we'll submit your application to Scottish Redress, and then we will await your panel date. And we'll also keep you in the loop for all of that. So we'll give you constant updates throughout.
Will that be a couple of years?
No, hopefully. So we are hearing. Let me just see as well. Sorry, Ronald. Let me just double check something. 6 feet. So you actually, because of your age, Ronald, you actually class as a high priority client under the Scottish Redress Scheme. So this is what they class. So anyone 68 and over is classed as a high priority client to the scheme. So on the cover letter that we send to them, it addresses that in there. It says under the scheme's guidance, you are classed as a vulnerable customer. A high priority client, and as such, you should be dealt with as a high priority client, which means you should jump. And we are hearing that people are getting paid in around 12 to 16 weeks from the scheme who are a high priority. So the quicker we get that statement back and submit it to them, then the quicker hopefully we can get you a panel date within the next 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Ronald, I will get this all typed up and neatened by the end of today. So it will be with you by email today, and I'll be with you in a post by Wednesday the latest, and I'll have a return envelope for you to send that back to us, okay?
Okay, that's great, Jay.
All right, no worries, Ronald. You've got my contact details if you need me. If you want to drop me an email or a call, anything at all, you know where I am, mate. Thank you very much again for your time today.
Well, thank you for your time.
All right. Not a problem, Ronald. Yeah. Speak soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And you. Bye.